Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair second quarter 2018 financial results call on 30th of August 2018. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star and then zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Nikolai Minishin. Please go ahead, sir.
Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intent, will, good, may, or might, the negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your interest in Systemair. Today, Systemair's financial and operating results for the second quarter 2018 will be presented by Mr. Andrey Dubovskov, Systemair President and CEO, and Mr. Vladimir Stravkov, Systemair's Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. With that, I'll turn the call to Andrey Dubovskov.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We are delighted to be reporting outstanding results for the second quarter 2018 delivered across our portfolio companies. In the reported period, the pace of top-line growth accelerated versus an already strong first quarter, thanks to impressive results across all our major assets. MTS, DSK Mir, Segezha Group, MedC, as well as our hospitality and real estate assets delivered at least double-digit OVDA growth. The excellent quarter was supplemented by positive effect from Russia hosting the FIFA World Cup. As we took pride in the performance of our national team and the hospitality shown towards fans and footballers alike, our businesses benefited from additional touristic traffic. At the Cosmos Group's hotel, we saw average occupancy increase by more than 8 percentage points. And at MTS, we saw a slight boost in revenue from guest roaming charges. At MTS, revenue increased by 7% due to stellar Russian mobile service and revenue growth as a result of higher usage of data and digital services. Revenue was also positively impacted by strong smartphone sales and growing contributions from foreign subsidiaries. OVDA increased by 22% as a result of the adoption of a new IFRS accounting standard, as well as higher revenue and strict cost control. DSK Mir again delivered double-digit top-line growth, driven both by the rollout of new retail space and an increase in like-for-like sales. DSK's e-commerce sales growth accelerated to 93% year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 125%, with the new IFRS standards having a major impact on the result. Excluding this effect, adjusted EBITDA still increased by more than a third year-on-year as the company can demonstrate a strong cost discipline. Our pulp and paper holding, Segezha Group, delivered revenue growth of 15% and EBITDA growth of 68% on the back of increased sales, more revenue generated from high-margin products, and the reduction of administrative and logistics costs. Agar Holding Step grew revenues by 93% year-on-year, increasing sales of carryover grain inventory at higher prices, launching a new grain trading business unit and delivering strong results from the dairy division. Our private healthcare operator, MedC, demonstrated impressive top-line growth of 49% year-on-year. The growth was driven by increased capacity utilization at inpatient facilities and continued ramp-up of the company's flagship assets at Krasnaya Brestnya. New clinic openings and regional facilities acquired in 2017 also contributed to the revenue improvement. Adjusted EBITDA was up by approximately a third, supported by the new IFRS standards and the performance of the CDC at Krasna Pressna. The facility improved the margins on the back of greater volumes and the higher average spend per patient visit. Importantly, we continue to invest, both to grow market share in industries and geographies where we are already present, and to enter new high-potential markets. Earlier this month, MTS entered the IT outsourcing market, leveraging the expertise and vast pool of IT talent at its subsidiary in Envision Group. In July, Segeja cut the ribbon on a major new plywood manufacturing line in Vyatka that will boost revenues and margins. In August, RTI launched a new modular payload assembly facility at the Yaroslavl radio factory, making the company a key player in advanced spacecraft development. Our funds continue to source high growth opportunities globally. In recent months, Sistema Venture Capital was invested in a startup that deploys AI solutions for dairy farming. Other investments included a platform for monitoring construction sites using drones and the developer of the leading GPU database for analyzing big data. Sistema Asia Fund added an Indian mobile health and fitness applications to its portfolio and most recently invested in an amazing Indian food preparation and delivery service. Finally, and this is a really good news for all of us, Josh Tulgan, one of the most talented and experienced investor relations and capital markets professionals in Russia, has joined Sistema from MTS. As Vice President of External Relations and a member of the Management Board, Josh will lead Sistema's position in the global arena and improve our relations with a broad array of stakeholders. This mandate is critically important as we undergo a transformation as an investment company and enhance our presence in the capital markets. Welcome, Josh. With that, let me now hand the call over to Vladimir Travkov, our CFO, who will take you through more details about our financial performance in the quarter. And then I look forward to taking your questions.
Thank you, Andrey, and thank you all for joining us today. As Andrey mentioned, in the second quarter of 2018, Sistema Group continued to deliver solid financial and operating results. Group revenue rose by 10.1% year-on-year to 182.1 billion rubles due to excellent top-line growth at all of our major portfolio companies. Consolidated adjusted EBITDA was up 32.3% year-on-year to 66 billion rubles, while the group's adjusted EBITDA margin improved by 5.9 percentage points year-on-year to 36.2%. EBITDA growth was driven by double-digit improvements in EBITDA at MTS, Segeja Group, MedSea, at our hospitality businesses and at our real estate businesses, as well as 125% EBITDA growth at Detski Mir. The new IFRS standards gave a significant boost to EBITDA at both MTS and Detski Mir, though even excluding this effect, EBITDA at our two publicly traded subsidiaries still grew materially as a result of sustained cost discipline. On a group level, consolidated SG&A expenses declined by 11% year-on-year to 33.2 billion rubles in the second quarter. Consolidated SG&A as a share of revenue decreased by from 22.5% to 18.2%. The ratio decreased at Detski Mir, MTS Bank, RTI, MTS, and Segeja. The new standards had a meaningful impact on lease cost at Detski Mir and MTS. Though excluding the effect of the new standards, consolidated SG&A the share of revenue still decreased by 1.2 percentage points as a result of cost optimization. At the corporate center level, SG&A decreased by 20% year-on-year to 1.3 billion rubles as a result of lower management compensation. While EBITDA benefited from the new IFRS standards, group net income was adversely impacted by the increased interest charge, and additional amortization expense related to the newly recognized lease assets and lease liabilities. Consolidated capital expenditures in the second quarter increased by 29.5% year-on-year to 27.1 billion rubles, driven largely by MTS investments in development in Russia and Ukraine. Group consolidated financial liabilities at the end of the second quarter 2018 stood at 682.1 billion rubles. At the corporate center level, we saw a slight increase in financial liabilities from 232.6 to 236.9 billion rubles, due only to revaluation of our fixed-denominated debt. We are intensively focused on optimizing the debt load, and I am pleased to report that as of today, we have extended the tenor of our loan portfolio, established a more favorable repayment schedule, and reduced the average interest rate, as well as the total debt. In July, we attracted a new 3-year secured loan facility from Sberbank that we used to refinance 3 Sberbank loans maturing in 2019 and early 2020, that totaled 24 billion rubles. We also signed a cooperation agreement with Открытие Bank that envisions financing and capital market activity at both the group and portfolio company levels. Under the agreement, Открытие has extended the schema a 15 billion ruble unsecured loan maturing in 2021. We used the proceeds of that loan together with 5 billion rubles of our own funds to make a final repayment on the 180-day 40 billion rubles RDIF Gazprom Bank loan. That loan had been extended in February 2018 for the purpose of meeting our obligations under the settlement agreement with Bashneft, Rosneft, and the Republic of Bashkortostan. In line with our strategy of de-risking the debt portfolio, we increased our hedge to $250 million to mitigate the currency risk of our Eurobonds. We plan to further increase the amount of Eurobond hedge over the course of this year, depending on market conditions. Our cash position stood at 7.9 billion rubles at the end of the reporting quarter, affected by interest expense, which are usually high in the second and fourth quarters and due to payment of Eurobond coupons. Since the end of the reporting period, our cash position has improved substantially to more than 25 billion rubles. Inflows included dividends and buybacks from MTS, dividends from BPGC, and proceeds from the sale of the stake in MTS Bank. The cash position was also impacted by payments of dividends, interest expense, SG&A, and several non-major investments. And we reduced our total debt by 5 billion rubles with repayment of the Gazprom Bank loan and by payment under the put option to the Russian government in the amount of 3.7 billion rubles. Deleveraging and managing the repayment schedule remain our priorities, and we will pursue them aggressively both at the group and portfolio company levels. Thank you again for your attention. With that, I will now hand the call back to Nikolai.
Thank you, Vladimir. Operator, we are now ready to take questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a question. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star and then 1 to ask a question. We can now take our next question from Alexander Vengranovich of Sova Capital.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So we have a couple of questions on the different assets. So first one, let's start with RTI, so which seems sort of the most troubled asset in your portfolio. So you said you had delays in the provision of some contracts in the first and the second quarter of this year. When do you expect these contracts to be booked again? Should we expect some turnaround in the second half of this year, or you currently have pretty low visibility on these delayed contracts? So that's the first question. The second question is on Leader Invest. So obviously we've seen that there was some weakness in revenue generation, assuming like old accounting standards, which probably is driven by the pipeline of the projects and commissioning of the developments. So do you think your pipeline of the completions looks solid for the second half of this year, and should we expect some re-acceleration of the revenue growth in the second half of this year? And the third question is on agriculture business. How do you view your current land portfolio? Can we assume that the acquisition of the new land plot is currently put on hold, basically due to the leverage constraints at the parent company level? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Alexander. It's Andrei Dvotskov. Talking about your first question, more or less you are right, but it can be a little bit longer story. We are not waiting the radically improving the situation in the second half of this year, but of course we are targeted to improve the situation at least till the summer of next year, because in this year, I'm talking about the defense area, all contracts are really more longer than one quarter or half of the year. And currently we have no bad results based on the numbers in the second quarter, but at the same time, I'm not ready to say that it's very sustainable situation operationally. But again, till the summer of next year, we are looking for the improvement situation in RTI. And talking about Leader Invest, that's a question about the seasonal factor. And of course, we have no any information about the decreasing of our pipeline. And I think that in the nearest future, fourth quarter this year, we are looking for a little bit better results than in the second quarter this year. And about our land portfolio in STEP, currently our land bank, that's approximately 380,000 square kilometers, and this is more or less stable situation. But of course, we are targeted to increase our land bank portfolio, and our goal till the end of 2019 to reach at least 500,000 square kilometers in our land bank. And I think the first step in this way will be till the end of this year. And I think the next news will be really, really interesting for you, but not in this quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please press star 1 if you have any questions. And we've no further questions at this time. We now have an additional question. We'll now take our question from Sveta Sukhanova of Sberbank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one would be on the dividends. The second one would be on MTS Bank. You sold around 8% stake to MTS, and there were some newspaper articles which were literally confirmed by MTS saying that they are looking forward to consolidating its stake in MTS Bank. Why are you selling, why do you plan to sell MTS Bank to the all of your stake in MTS Bank to MTS and do not want to keep part of it to yourself? That would be my first question, and my second question would be about dividends. Can you give us a latest outlook about dividends? Should we be expecting any dividends for 2018, and what size of the dividends could we be discussing? Thank you very much.
And first of all, I hope you understand that that's not a news that fintech and telcos is a really very complementary sphere. And starting 2012, if I remember correctly, we are looking for possibility to not to merge, but to be much more close operationally. I'm talking about the MTS and MTS Bank. And the first step on this way was implemented 5 years ago when MTS acquired 25% of the MTS Bank. And currently, I think that's a good news for all of us that 55% of MTS Bank are really acquired by MTS. And talking about the next step, I think it will be better if you can ask about this disability to MTS directly. But from my point, I'm absolutely sure that the fintech and telco are really complementary sphere. And I think, to be honest, it looks like a dream for each bank to create much more closure relationship with telco, including the M&A operations. And at the same time, each operators around the world, I'm not talking about the Russian business, I'm talking about all operators in other countries, are really looking for potential acquisition by fintech startups, banks, or other financial institutes. So in my opinion, it's totally in line with our strategy and with strategy of MTS. But at the same time, again, please ask about this possibility to MTS directly. And talking about the dividend policy, I think Vladimir can elaborate a little bit more deeply.
So we still keep our current dividend policy, and we are not going to change it anyhow. But still, as you remember, our deleveraging is our priority for this year. So the board of directors decided to limit the dividend payment for this year, and for current moment we cannot share any forecast of dividends for this year, but still you should keep in mind that our key priorities is deleveraging for this year and midterm of next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
We can now take our next question from Alexander Vrengranovich of Sova Capital.
Yes, thanks again. So a follow-up question, I think, also to Vladimir on their deleveraging and your maturity schedule. So basically next year, as I see from the presentation, currently you need to refinance around 60 billion different financial obligations. The corporate center level. So the question is actually, how do you plan to do that? So basically, do you think there is a possibility to sell part of your assets in your portfolio to cover these obligations, or should we most likely focus on the pure, debt refinancing of these obligations? Thank you.
As you see, part of this debt is put options that we have for our publicly bonds. So it is possible that we will put it forward, and we will still keep it with that for future period. For euro bonds, I think it's too early to make any comments. So all ways are possible. So monetization or refinancing is possible, but still, as you remember, we're focusing on deleveraging, and we are going to use some of our own funds to repay part of euro bonds or all amount of euro bonds in next year. So, as I mentioned, all options is possible.
Okay, and then probably the question again to restructuring of the company as a whole. I remember, like we discussed last quarter, the new sort of structure with the different funds where you're planning to attract sort of new partners and also get the managers of these funds sort of involved on the shareholder level. So how would you characterize the progress regarding the overall like structure of the company operations? Is there anything new that you can share?
So in the near future, we are going to consider it in our boards, but currently we have no direct answer to you, but please wait our news later.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We can now take our next question from Igor Gontrov of Gazprom Bank.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have a question regarding the SG&A cost of the corporate center. If we look on this quarter results, or second quarter results, and also on the first quarter results, both quarters showed a decline, noticeable decline in SG&A cost. My question is it a kind of a systematic effort, and what, or is it just related to some one-off items that have been booked last year? And generally, what kind of, if you look at the annual dynamics of the SG&A cost in 2018, what sort of dynamics should we expect in this item on year-to-year basis? Thank you.
My question again, and that's... Of course, it's a very important question for all of us, and I mean not only about the potential possibilities to reduce our G&A cost, but much more about the balance between the cost reduction and real reliability of our expenses in our business, in our structure, because it's a very big challenge for us to restructure our management system, but at the same time we do not lose our position in each industries which we cover it by Sistema. Because it totally depends on the experience and totally depends on the comfortable level in our management system for covering and managed by our assets. And based on this, we are not waiting for for the same steps every next quarter. I think that the good level for us we can reach till the end of this year, and after that we need to stop and see how we can improve the situation in future. But talking about 2018, of course, I think you can understand that's not bad results in compare with 2017.
Yes, thank you very much. Just to understand, I mean, should we expect, I mean, basically, if I don't have exact numbers because it's a quarterly, but roughly speaking, the SG&A cost probably declined by about 15% or so in the first half of the year. Should we expect similar dynamics in the second half of the year and the year as a whole, or should it be, should we look for different dynamics of the SG&A cost of the corporate center?
Talking about the whole year, I think it will be at least double-digit reducing of our cost.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, as a reminder, you can press star 1. And we've no further questions at this time. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you, operator, and thank you everyone for participating in our quarterly results call. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact our investor relations team. And with that, I would like to conclude our call and wish everyone a very pleasant evening.
Thanks.
Thank you, operator.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.